Hello.
Hello.
Now, today's a very special day. I've got one of my heroes coming in. We've been trying to get him on ever since we started down the line, but you know what? Brand new series, brand new researcher, the lovely Amira. She's mixed race, but that's not really relevant. But she's fantastic, and she has managed, in one phone call, to get on this show, Sir Michael Gambon, star of The Singing Detective, Harry Potter films, The Cook, The Thief, His Wife and Her Lover, and of course, the fantastic Christmas special, Doctor Who, which I'm very excited to talk to him about when he comes in. Move me to tears. Fantastic performance. Fantastic actor. Probably the best we've got in this country. So, get ready with your calls or Twitter me at GaryBellamyDTL. It's incredible. I go away for a few months and all this stuff happens. Twitter, the iPhone, the iPad, none of them existed before. I can't keep up with it. There's just too much stuff in the world. Do we need it all? It's like TV chefs. There's millions of them. Like rats, you're never more than 10 feet away from one. And I haven't got a clue who half of them are. And I still only know how to cook one thing. Shepherd's pie with baked beans. Lovely. Okay, so I've got just time to take a couple of calls before the great Sir Michael Gambon arrived. So let's go to the phones, and we've got Humphrey Milner on the line. Hello, Humphrey.
Hello there, Gary. Marvellous to speak to you again.
You too, you too. What are you calling up about today?
Well, you know what? I'll get on to my main point in just one moment. Just before then, I was listening, and I was very tickled by you talking about all these TV chefs.
Yes, yes.
You're so right. Mm. There's too many of them, aren't there?
Far too many
of
them.
I'm old enough to remember Fanny Craddock, of course. And, you know, in my day, we only needed the one. I'm very glad that you were saying you can't keep up with them because, you know, I think if a young chap like you can't remember them, well, what chance is an old duffer like me? I can't keep up. And, you know, since Fanny Craddock, we've had, I suppose there was Graham Carr. I remember him. You're probably too young. The Galloping Gourmet.
No.
He was a sort of celebrity chef, I suppose, probably one of the first.
Right.
Then, of course, there's old reliable Delia Smith.
Yeah.
And then, you know, after that, I can't keep up.
No.
Who was the chap? Sorry, I'll get on to my main point in a moment. Who was the chap who, he was always drunk?
Oh, Keith Floyd.
He was actually rather fun, wasn't he?
He was fun.
The only one of these new chefs I can remember is Ken Hom.
why does he stick out?
Well, I don't. Maybe it's the name. It's one syllable each. Ken Hom sticks in the mind, doesn't it? Ken Hom. Two fat ladies. I do remember them, but I couldn't tell you what their names were. I used to love them. Do you like
this? Clarissa and someone
Clarissa.
Else.
Clarissa. Dixon,
right. That's it.
Where did I get that from?
I don't know. Lodged in the back of that brain
it's
there.
It's in there somewhere. If only I could shake it loose. And there are those chaps now, aren't there, that go around on the motorbikes.
Yes, the hairy bikers.
Hairy bikers.
So anyway, yes. So what was it you were, what were you ringing about? What was the main topic?
Yes, oh, no, hang on. Yes, I like him. Hugh Fearnley Whittingstall.
Yeah, he's another one.
Yes, so anyway, Anthony Worrall Thompson.
He's another one as well.
Who's the one they are slightly mad?
Bald. Henston Blumenthal. Anyway, we've got... There's a lot of chefs around.
Jamie Oliver, of course.
Now, so what exactly is your point today? The main point you were ringing about, not the chefs.
Ken Hom.
We've said him, yeah. Hot what?
Yeah.
What were you ringing about before the chefs?
Chefs. Oh, yes.
No.
Well, there's Nigella Lawson.
No.
Gordon Ramsay. Michelle Roux.
He's another one.
And there's Michelle Roux Jr. now. I mean, what hope have I of keeping up with all these people?
Yeah, the way we're going, Humphrey, this show will be hosted by Gary Bellamy Jr.
Gary.
Now, yes.
Gary Rhodes. James May, of course.
He's not a chef.
Is he not?
No.
But he probably will be. Ken Hom now, he is a chef.
Yeah, Ken Hom, Humphrey, I'm not quite sure what your main point was there. Why don't you go away and have a little think about it, and we'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Let's go down the line. Hello, who's there?
Hello, Gary, how are you?
I'm fine, how are you?
It's Costas, yeah, I called to your program before. I'm so glad that spring is here, Gary, because the winter has been very long and cold. Did you have a nice Christmas, Gary?
Yeah, I had a lovely Christmas.
What did the Bellamy's family have for Christmas dinner?
Oh, I had turkey.
Ask me what I had for Christmas dinner.
Okay, what did you have to eat on Christmas Day?
I had Greeky, Gary. I'm only joking with you, but I wouldn't have turkey, I would have Greeky. Good to speak to you.
I should have seen that one coming. Thanks very much for your call. Okay, I've got Sydney on the line. Hello, Sydney.
Are you talking a little about the food?
Yes, about chefs, yeah.
I work in a kitchen.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, kitchen porter.
A kitchen porter.
Yeah, I do all the things other people don't want to do. Like chop up vegetables, clean all down, clean out the ovens, clean out all surfaces. So the waiters come down, I talk between them and the chefs.
Yeah. What do you think of the TV chefs compared to the chefs you work with?
Chefs on television? I don't really get a chance to watch it because I'm always working, but some of them are like, always watching the afternoons, go to the race, they cook, see what I mean, they bring a carry bag for different foods. It was like, pass it, turn it, garlic, so make it a bit cake. Make a meal out of that. Quick, over a minute. I went to slavery one as well. I saw the slavery one, but both things didn't come in. Yeah, turn it, past it, turn it, mint, onion, garlic, white wine, and 1 minute. And they come in, and the bins fell over. It's like liquid. It's mop it all up. And then the fish was spoken.
Was this on Ready Steady Cook, or was this in the kitchen?
Oh, Ready Steady Cook! Matt was in the audience. He just got down and brown, couldn't get into it. Ready Steady Cook. So someone spilled some ketchup all over everywhere.
Well, thank you very much. Ah, Humphrey's back on the line. Hello, Humphrey. Have you remembered what you wanted to talk about?
Marco Pierre White.
What?
Nancy Lamb.
Mm.
John Turode.
Yes. So anyway...
Ainsley Harriet.
Mm.
Rick Stein. Antonio Carluccio.
Now, Humphrey, come on. Sorry.
Giorgio Locatelli.
Yeah.
Madder Jeffrey.
Never heard of that person. Can
Uncle
we...
Ben.
Yeah.
Ken Holm.
Yeah, Patax. Anyway.
And from Del Monte.
Now, Humphrey, listen, seriously. I don't want to stop... Captain Birdseye.
Sophie
please,
Dahl.
please.
Valentine Warner. There's a name
come on.
To play with.
Humphrey.
Sorry.
Now.
Yes.
What are you ringing to talk about?
Nigel Slater.
Thank you very much for your call.
Ken Holm.
Absolutely brilliant. Thank you. Okay, I've got Khalid on the line. Hello, Khalid.
Hello, what is point TV chef? What is point?
What is point?
No.
No?
No, what is point TV chef? What is point?
Yeah, what is the point of TV chefs?
Yeah, what is point?
What is point? Good point. Thanks for your point. Mine's a point. Okay, so, I'm now joined by my guest. And the first thing that strikes me is that you're not Sir Michael Gambon, are you?
I am.
You are, yeah, you're called Michael Gambon, but you're
I
not
I am
the...
Michael Gambon, Professor Michael Gambon.
Yes, but you're not the Michael Gambon.
In astronomy circles, I think I am.
But not in acting circles, no.
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 I did do acting at university.
Yes, but you weren't in Harry Potter, were you?
No, I'm Professor Michael Gambon, the astronomer.
Do you get a lot of confusion about the name?
Not in the world of astronomy, no.
No. Which is obviously a little bit difficult for me, because I've got a lot of questions here prepared for the other Michael Gambon, you know, the real one, the good one. Like, you know, what's it like to be at the Oscars ceremony? What's it like to have a corner named after you on the Top Gear racetrack? What's it like being Dumbledore? And obviously, most importantly, what was it like meeting Doctor Who, which must have been very exciting? I can't ask any of those now, can I?
Well, you say that, but I actually think that the real space that we're looking at in my new television series, where we travel out among the real planets, is so much more exciting than the made-up sort of kids' stuff of Doctor Who.
So you're more Patrick Moore than Hogwarts, aren't you? More Patrick Dumbledore. OK, and so you've got your new series on BBC Four called, the Planet Suite or whatever it is?
That's right, yes.
On BBC Four?
Yes.
So it's about the planets and the universe or whatever, and dust. And...
Yeah, because it's about the real universe, what really happens in the universe and what it would be like to travel amongst the planets and the stars.
But Doctor Who does actually travel through, you know, space and time. He does that. So what do you
Well, it's
do?
Not real.
No, I know, but that's the fancy element. But you're real. You're telling us the real stuff in your show.
Yeah.
But there's no...
And, you know, it's...
Where's the adventures?
The kids these days, you see, they get so excited.
Mm.
If you actually show them the wonders of the universe, they get more excited than watching Doctor Who.
Do they? Anyway, so what is the difference between astrology and astronomy? One of them is the one that my Michaela's into, you know, star signs, horoscopes, you know. Yeah. What star sign are you, by the way?
I wouldn't know. I have no idea. I'm not interested in it. I'm an astronomer, obviously, not an astrologer.
Oh, come on. Look, everybody, right? Even if they pretend they don't know about it, they know what star sign they are.
I'm a Pisces.
Right, Pisces. So what does that make you then? Like, what kind of personality is that? Is it a water sign?
It's a water sign, yes. Supposedly.
Great. Well, thank you, Michael. And I'm just looking at my screen here, and there are loads of calls for you. Ah, they've just been removed. Apparently, they were all about astrology. But I do have one about astronomy, so let's go to the phone right now. Hello.
Oh, hello there. It's Jamie.
You're through to Professor Michael Gambon.
Oh, hello.
Hello. What's your question?
Hello.
Well, it's not a question so much as an observation. When I think about the universe, well, I can't think about the universe. It's just too big for me.
I know what she means.
Well, it is big.
How do you think about it, Professor Gambon?
What I do, I just give in to it. The right. awe of it. The size of it, the majesty of it.
And it doesn't make you feel sick?
Once I was a little bit sick.
Do you think about it like a metre at a time? Or, you know, like, what I mean is, you know when you think to yourself, if you've got something to do for a long period of time, you think, take it day by day. Do you kind of take the universe, kind of, you know, like hectare by hectare?
You can be overwhelmed by it, or you can be comforted by it.
Oh, I'm overwhelmed. You know, people say it's lovely to look at a starry night, but if I look up, I just feel ill.
Like, do you feel sort of insignificant, you know, like a tiny little dot in this huge, massive universe?
Oh, yes, it's awful.
But you've just got to say to yourself, I am part of it.
Oh, I've tried that.
You've tried that?
Yes, I don't...
What you can do is lie on your back on a particularly clear night on the grass and look up at the stars...
Yes.
And just say, wow.
Mm. Oh. No, I haven't tried that.
Try it tonight. It's going to be a particularly clear night tonight. Mm. Great night for looking at the stars. Lie out there and just go, wow.
Wow.
But you might want to take a washing up bowl out with you just in case you do need to throw up.
Mm. Yes, I think I will.
Yeah. Listen, thanks for your call. That was an interesting one. So my guest today is Professor Michael Gambon, and we're talking about... astronomy, isn't it?
Yes.
So what exactly do you do? You stare through telescopes and stuff?
Yeah, well, actually, I've just come back from a trip to Chile with Professor Anthony Hopkins, where we were visiting the Very Large Telescope there.
OK, what's that called?
The Very Large Telescope.
Yeah, what's it called, though?
That's what it's called.
Is that what it's called? They've got, like, a scientific name for it, like, I don't know.
Yes, it's 2,635 metres high in the Cerro Paranal mountain in the Atacama Desert. And the facility there is run by Professor Javier Bardem, who's a great South American astronomer.
Right. So what does this telescope look at? The stars?
Well, it's four separate telescopes. They can be used independently. But when you put them together, you can have this fantastic view of the depths of the universe. And one of the reasons I was actually out there was because we here in Europe, we're now building our own telescope there.
What's that going to be called?
The Extremely Large Telescope.
Right. I mean, surely they could think of a better name, like, I don't know, something like, I don't know, Phosphoros Telescope or... I could think of a... In fact, the listeners could think of a better name. In fact, that's not a bad idea for a call. If you've got any ideas for this telescope, the Extremely Large Telescope, give us a call in. We'll have some great name suggestions. I would call it... I don't know.
Well, the name of it's not that important.
Oh, come on.
I mean, it's actually a really exciting project, and it's just been given the proper go-ahead, because they were going to build a bigger telescope... But they've decided that this one is more practical.
Yeah, what's that going to be called? The ginormous telescope?
The overwhelmingly large telescope.
These people haven't got any imagination, have they? Come up with names...
Well, it's irrelevant what the telescopes are called. We're more focused on, you know, looking at the stars.
Yeah, fascinating. Let's go to a call. OK, you got a question for Michael?
Yes, I have.
Professor Michael Gambon, sorry.
I cannot believe people don't value what you're offering here. I'd like to know... why certain stars are visible from different parts of the country. I mean, for example, when I'm at my house in Scotland, I mean, it's as clear as day, even when it's 12 at night, and you can almost touch them. But when you're in London, you can barely see a thing.
Well, it's light pollution.
I know that. For God's sake, I'm not here to be lectured about light pollution. For the love of God, I mean, I'm very well educated. It's perfectly obvious I know about that. I'm saying, why is it so very clear, the sky, when one is in Scotland, as opposed to in London?
Yeah, why is that?
Well, it's light pollution.
Oh, for the... I mean, are you a moron? It's perfectly clear that I don't mean, is London more polluted than Scotland? Any cretin would know that.
Is it because Scotland's further north, so you're therefore nearer to space?
Ah, now that sounds much more likely. What do you think, Professor?
No.
No?
The whole thing about astronomy is trying to find places in the world that you can see the wonders of the stars, which is why we're building our new telescope in Chile, on this high plateau where they have the clearest skies in the world.
Well, I know that, you moron. For the love of God, everybody in the world who's read a book knows that Chile has the clearest skies. It's impossible to believe that you are a professor in this subject and can't answer a very simple question.
I'm struggling to answer the question, but...
Are you from the north?
Well, I think we better leave that there. OK, I've got a twit here from the Nugget who says... They should name that gigantic telescope after the biggest thing I know, Mike. I can't say that. Matt. Now, back to you, Michael Gambon, Sir Professor Michael Gambon, the astronomer. Or was it astrologer? What was it again?
I'm an astronomer.
Astronomer, which is the man who looks at the stars for scientific reasons, not for horoscopes.
That's right.
So it's the boring bit rather than the fun bit, yeah?
Well, no, it's not boring at all. This is what I tried to get across. I mean, the universe, what could be more fascinating than looking at our universe that we're part of? And it's about creation. We're looking at the birth of the universe. We can still see it happening out there with these light coming to us from the stars from billions of years ago.
So we've got a question on astronomy now for our special guest, Professor Michael Gambon. Hello, who's there?
Mr. Roger Hargreaves here.
Oh, hello.
Hello there. I have a name for your telescope.
Oh.
The name I have come up with is Protégé.
Protégé.
It's quite good.
I mean, it's all right. It doesn't really say anything about the stars and space or anything, though, does it?
Cloudfox.
Cloudfox.
Spantana.
Sorry?
Spantana.
Spantana. I don't get that.
Homage.
Homage.
Octolanus.
These sound like bad aftershaves.
Arrabbiata.
That's a type of pasta sauce, isn't it?
Flask 1 and Flask 2. Lampala. Brioche.
They don't really sound like telescope names.
No, no.
Tarkus, Tusk, the Overseer.
The Overseer's not a bad one.
Are you into astronomy yourself?
Well, I do like to look at the stars.
Do you?
Who doesn't?
It's marvellous, exactly. It's so exciting, isn't it?
I just wanted to say, with your chummy voice and your slightly boisterous enthusiasm, you're everything that's wrong with the BBC. Good day.
Oh.
Well, thank you very much for your call.
Bye.
Bye. You really are very, enthusiastic chap and very engaging. So, can you tell me three interesting facts about the universe?
Well, the universe was formed... about 13.7 billion years ago. It began infinitesimally small, infinitely hot, and infinitely dense.
Yeah. Is that three, or is that part of one?
No. Singularities. Oh, they're fascinating. They exist at the core of a black hole, and the pressure is so immense that finite matter is squashed into infinite density.
Is there another one? Is that two or three?
If you want to see a live event, a real live event, then look through a telescope and you can see stars being formed.
Thing is, if you make it sound like you look into a telescope and you see this explosion, it's kind of the formation of a star. You don't, you just see a little twinkly, shiny thing.
Well, you don't actually look in a telescope. These modern telescopes, they use reflecting mirrors like a giant lens. And the light from that is analysed by computers.
So you don't actually look through a telescope?
No, you do need... other people to interpret that. And in fact, Professor Ken Branagh up at Edinburgh University is doing some fascinating work analysing some of the images that we're getting now from very, very deep space.
Let's talk about constellations, because they don't look anything like they say they look. So you've got the bear. What's the bear called?
Ursa Major.
That one.
The Plough, the Big Dipper.
See, to me, the Plough looks more like a saucepan than an actual plough, and a Big Dipper looks nothing like anything I've seen at Alton Towers.
Well, the thing is, it's a demonstration of the awe that the stars have always created in man, looking up there and imagining what it is and the stories that might be up there and the gods that might be up there and the fascination of the night sky, that you could read all this stuff into it. And now we're using that information to read about the origins of the universe and what it means to be human.
I suppose the most interesting aspect of looking up into the night sky is aliens. Is there anything else out there? Have you, whilst looking up at that sky, seen any evidence of UFOs or other beings or life on other planets?
We see so many people say that that's the most interesting thing about the universe, but I think that's the least interesting thing.
So what's
we're
the...
looking at white dwarfs and black holes and the idea that there might be some little green men out there. It doesn't interest me at all.
It's funny you mention white dwarfs, because you don't actually ever see any black dwarfs, do you?
What, in the sky?
Well, on telly, or on films, or comedy, or panto. Maybe they exist, but we just haven't seen any. Maybe if there's any black dwarves who want to call in and tell us that you exist, please do.
There is that American one.
Ah.
It was in Bad Santa.
Okay. Anyway, Galileo, he was an astronomer.
Yes.
Yeah, and so...
And he challenged the whole notion that God had created the universe.
Did God create the universe?
No.
Who did?
Nobody did.
It just happened. But before...
It happened in the Big Bang.
Right, the Big Bang, okay. What happened there, then? Big explosion, yeah? Beginning of the universe. Planets just suddenly formed.
All matter in the universe started by being infinitesimally small. It didn't really exist. Because all that matter crushed together, the gravity of it crushed it down into an infinitesimally small size so that it didn't actually exist.
So there was nothing there. It's like basically there was nothing.
There was nothing there, but the energy contained in that burst out in a massive explosion that created the universe.
But that does sound like the beginning of the Bible, doesn't it? You know, in the beginning there was nothing, and then, you know, God made planets within sort of, what is it,
there.
A week?
That's the bit.
Mm? That's the bit.
It was fine up until you said that word.
What word?
God.
So the Bible is telling the truth up until God is mentioned?
Yeah. The first four or five words of the Bible are absolutely bang on.
And the rest of it?
Nonsense.
It's Mr. Khan on the line. Hello, Mr. Khan.
I hear you talking about Asians. Why are you talking Asians coming from other place? Why are you doing this?
No, we weren't talking about Asians. We were talking about aliens.
You were talking. I know what you're doing now. You were talking about... Now I've come on the radio. You're changing your mind.
No.
I could hear very clearly. I was in the living room.
Okay.
The radio was on in the kitchen. And now you're talking about... Should Asians be coming here?
No.
Are Asians coming here? Asians are coming. They look.
We aren't actually talking about Asians in outer space. We're actually talking about aliens, and we're not even really supposed to be talking about aliens because Professor Michael Gambon doesn't really like talking about aliens, do you?
No, you're absolutely right. I don't want to talk about aliens. I don't like aliens.
What? You can't say these things. What are you saying on BBC? Now you're saying you don't like Asians on BBC.
No. He's saying he doesn't like...
I didn't say anything about Asians.
He just said Asians then.
No,
I didn't.
He said aliens.
Mind tape, you will hear him bloody say Asians.
We're not talking about Asians, we're talking about aliens, but we're not even talking about them.
No, he didn't say, honestly, I swear on my life, he did not say he didn't like Asians.
So what are you talking about then?
I'm talking about space, the wonders of the universe.
And you'd mentioned before Asians.
You mentioned Asians. Professor Michael Gambon is not a racist.
I didn't say he's racist, I'm saying he's talking about Asians.
No, he said aliens.
And I don't want to talk about them either.
No.
No, not that I don't not want to talk about Asians. I'd be happy to talk about Asians, but I've nothing to say about them in relation to space. No.
You have nothing to say.
I'm not
about
here
Asians.
To talk about Asians. No.
We could talk about Asians.
I didn't mean it like that.
We could talk about Asians.
Why are you talking about Asians? That is, now he's being racist.
You're in hot water now.
Michael,
you're in hot water. Listen, the message board has gone mad. Can we all have a bit of quiet here? Because we just need to clarify something. Professor Michael Gambon, can you just say whether or not you like Asians?
Well, of course I like Asians. I've got nothing against Asians. But I'm not really an expert.
I'm the expert. I can be expert on Asians. Why are you having... If you aren't someone talk about Asians, I can be there.
So what are your favourite Asians? You know, the Chinese, the Indian, the... who would be your favourites?
I don't think I particularly have a favourite Asian.
No. Mr. Khan, who are your favourite Asians?
Pakistanis.
Do you know what? I think I've been told now to stop this. Thank you very much, Mr. Khan, for your call. Well, controversial stuff here as ever on Down the Line. We were almost in the middle of a race war there. If you could just watch your step, please, Gambon. Right, let's go to another call.
Hello?
Hello?
This is Jukes.
Jokes?
Hello, Jukes.
No, Jukes. Jukes. Jukesy.
Jukes.
Jukes.
Jukes. Hello, Jukesy.
Jukes, yeah. Yes, listen, I hear you talking about black dwarf, yeah?
Well, we were talking about white dwarfs, but yes, the question of black dwarfs did arise.
Yes.
I myself, personally, am a black dwarf.
Oh, God, this is going to be a minefield.
I'm really pleased to come on here because I couldn't never have the chance to speak up before. And I think that there's too much discrimination against us, you know. Last year, I tried to get a job in Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, you know. When they saw me come in there and they realized I was a black dwarf, suddenly the thing is gone.
Have you thought of anything else you could do instead of acting or performing?
What are you talking about, black dwarf in space or something like that? Do you mean, is there a lot of us now becoming astronauts now?
I don't think they would take a dwarf as an astronaut.
There you go again. I'm discriminated because of my colour and of my height. And it's not right. Why is double-barrel discrimination here?
I definitely don't think there'd be any restrictions on your colour. Certainly in the field of science, I mean, a very good friend of mine, an astrophysicist, Professor Morgan Freeman, is a person of colour.
I don't understand. Are you saying I can get a job as an astronaut?
I think it's unlikely because I imagine all of the spacecraft are made for people of a certain size.
Well, hang on, they could be an astronaut. Couldn't they send him up? You know, they used to send up, you know, those little tiny ships they sent dogs up in.
Dignified human being. I happen to be a black dwarf, and that does not mean they have to discriminate and stop me from being an astronaut if I wanted to be. And you just seem to take it as a joke.
We're not taking it as a joke, but surely they could be able to fit more of them into a spaceship.
Well, I don't think it's about how many dwarves you can squash into a spacecraft.
Put yourself in my shoe.
I don't think we'd fit. I think...
You think this is a joke?
I think, you know, it's a good idea to send some people of restricted growth into space.
Well, I think that would be a great idea. To paraphrase Armstrong, it would be a leap forward, although obviously not a giant one.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, we've got time for just one more call, Michael. Hello, who's there?
Hey, who put the first man on the moon? America! Who pioneered space travel? America!
Soviet Union.
Well, actually, I think you're right. I think the Russians were actually first into space.
Don't say that, man! Real pissed with you, man! Gonna come down there, Gambon! Gonna break your face with my great, big, American hand!
You got anything to say to that?
I think you'll find, actually, that a lot of the recent work in space exploration has actually been generated in Europe.
Europe? Ha! What a bunch of pussies! We saved your goddamn ass! Come down there! Gonna break both your faces with my great, big, American hand!
I'm so glad I came in today.
Faggot!
Why'd you let these calls through?
Well, the program's online now and available in America, and we're hoping to expand our American base and, well, you know, talk show hosts in America get paid a lot of money. And incidentally, I still haven't been paid for 3 weeks, and I don't even know if I'm going to bother turning up next week. Well, that's it for this week. Thanks again to all our calls, and thank you to our special guest, Professor Michael Gambon.